Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Our text for this morning is the verse 16. At least the first half of the verse. There the bride says, "My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies." You want to take those words, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." The bride in this Song of Solomon has a great deal to say about her beloved. Well, the beloved may be identified as the one who once said, "A greater than Solomon is here." The beloved in the Song of Solomon, of course, is Christ. This is a song about the bride's love for her beloved and his love for her. In the bride, we of course see the Christian. And in the beloved, we see Christ. And in this song, we see that the bride spoke often about her beloved. It seems as though his name was always upon her lips. Indeed, she enthusiastically refers to him as "my beloved" no less than 23 times. In this book. Just look at how often she speaks of him in this chapter. This chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon. For in verse 3, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved." In verse 8, "The voice of my beloved." Verse 9. "My beloved is like a roe or a young hart." Verse 10. "My beloved spake and said unto me." Verse 16. "My beloved is mine and I am his." Verse 17. "Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn my beloved." So she, as we can see even in just one chapter, that the bride spoke often of her beloved. And every time she says, "my beloved," it is to exalt him. It is to extol his virtues. It is to express her love for him. She speaks about her view of him in verse 3. She refers to his voice in verse 8 and verse 10. And her visit with him, she explains in verse 4. So we see how her life and love were all wrapped up in the one whom she describes as my beloved. But that's not all. For she spoke about her beloved's love for her. In verse 4, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." In verse 10, "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Verse 13. "The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with her tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love." This is the bridegroom. This is the beloved speaking. And he addresses his bride as "my love." "Arise, my love, my fair one." come away. So we see how the love between bride and bridegroom was mutual. And so, dear child of God, as we look at the bride, do we see anything of ourselves in her? We know all that she said about her beloved. We look at him and we can certainly recognize Christ there. For he is the rose of Sharon. He is the lily of the valleys. He is as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. He is above all, for there is none to be compared to the one who is the chiefest among 10,000, the one who is altogether lovely. And if we can see Christ clearly in the beloved, I trust we can see ourselves in the bride. And what the bride said here in our text, my beloved is mine, and I am his. I trust we can all repeat those words as our testimony. My beloved is mine, and I am his. I want us, first of all, regarding these words, to consider the bride and her claim. Here the bride claims two things, and of course we cannot have one without the other. She says, my beloved is mine. And if she makes that claim, then it is necessary that she's also able to say, and I am his. If we can say, my beloved is mine, then we must be able to add the truthful words, and I am his. So we cannot have Christ if he does not have us. The two go together. And regarding this claim, we notice first of all it was a claim that was personal. The bride is not speaking for someone else. She says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. She's speaking for herself. And here she speaks about what he is to her and what she is to him. You will notice that she only speaks about one person beside herself. My beloved is mine and I am his. There is no third or fourth party there. There's just the two of them. That's the way it should be, of course. Bride and groom, husband and wife, with nothing or no one between the Christian and Christ. Genesis chapter 2. There we read, regard to Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2, we read in verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Just two people. Adam and Eve, husband and wife. And here, bride and bridegroom, or bride and beloved. They are one. And here the bride speaks of the oneness, that oneness with her beloved. My beloved is mine and I am his. Just as the Christian has that oneness with Christ, as Paul said in Ephesians 5, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We are members of his body. That's why we can say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. There is that union between the Christian and Christ, as there was this union between the bride and her beloved. She is saying, he is my beloved. He is mine. He belongs to me. And I to him. Next we will, as well as the claim that is personal, we have here a claim about a possession. The bride states clearly, my beloved is mine, and I am his. She's speaking about a possession. My beloved is mine. He's mine. He belongs to me. And then she says, and I am his. I belong to him. Therefore, believer, Christ belongs to us. He's ours. He is ours personally. Every believer can say that. My beloved is mine, and I am his. The beloved was her possession, and she was his. So it is with us, dear Christian. Christ claimed us as his own personal possession. He claimed us as his own. Before one ray of sunshine brightened the heavens, he claimed us as his own, his own possession, before the moon ruled the night, and before a star shone in the firmament. He claimed us as his own possession before the earth brought forth one blade of grass, before one flower budded, before the first fruits on the vine appeared. He chose us then to be his possession. Ephesians 1 verse 3. According as he hath chosen us in him. When? We can remember the day that we came and received Christ as our Savior. When we, as it were, chose him. But when did the Lord choose us to be his possession? He hath chosen us in him before. Not after. Before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chose us in him before the foundation of the world. We didn't come to know Christ until we were regenerated by the power of the Spirit of God. We didn't come to know Christ until the hour we were saved. Christ knew us before the foundation of the world. This he did when he went to the cross to purchase our salvation. He made us his own. He chose us, yes, before the foundation of the world. And then he purchased us to be his own. We read in 1 Corinthians 6, and there in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? The Holy Ghost abides in us, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. So if we're not our own, who do we belong to? For we are bought with a price. Who bought us? Christ. For we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He has bought me. He has purchased me. And since he has purchased me with his own blood, that means I belong to him. I don't belong to anyone else. I belong to Christ. My beloved is mine, and I am his. In the words of Norman J. Clayton, our song now is, Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From him no power of evil can sever. He gave his life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Praise the Lord. As well as our claim being personal, and our claim being of the possession, we see also that our claim is precious. When the bride said, my beloved is mine, she was saying, my beloved is precious to me. He's mine. And so, dear believer, is not Christ precious? And are you not glad that you're able to say, he's mine? Didn't the Apostle Peter say in 1 Peter 2, verse 7, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Well, we are believers. And if we are believers, then that must make Christ precious to us. If Christ is not precious to us, there's something wrong. He is all that he is. All he was, all he has done, all he is doing, all he has promised, all he has prepared for us in heaven is ours, and that makes him precious. For none would do for us what Christ, our beloved, has done for us. Nobody. There's nobody would do for us what Christ has done for us. For he who was rich became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be made rich. And in his poverty, he lay as an infant in a manger. In his poverty, he later cried, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. In his poverty, he became the song of drunkards. He even said, they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head. And then in his poverty, he was prepared to go to the cross, for he who was rich became the poorest of all men. For when we see him there hanging on the cross extended between heaven and earth, we see one with no friends, no family, no followers, and soon to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No father. Christ did all of this, endured the cross, despising the shame, and each believer can say, he did it for me. He did that which no one else would do, no one else could do. No one else could do what Christ has done for us. Does that not make him precious? And are we then not glad we can say, my beloved is mine. I'm glad he's mine. I'm glad he's mine. And I'm also glad to be able to say, and I am his. I am his. So there you have the bride and her claim. We notice also the bride and her certainty. Looking at the words which came from the lips of the bride, she is certain about what she is saying. She believes what she says. Because she says, my beloved is mine, and I am his. There are no doubts, ifs, buts, or maybes there. She is definite. When the bride, see the bride and her certainty, we notice first of all, she's positive. There is no doubt in her mind or in her heart about this union between her and her beloved. She's positive about it. Indeed, if you look closely at her words, you will see two words that are in italics, telling us that our honest translators of our authorized version put them in there because they were not in the original. Look at the words, my beloved is mine and I am his. The two words that have been inserted, my beloved is, the word is in italics, and I am his, the word am is in italics. Now read the words, now read her statement, my beloved, mine, and I his. It seems to make it more emphatic what she is saying and what she believes. My beloved, mine. And I, his. That speaks, seems to make her statement all the more emphatic, as we've said. Just as we often sing the words, dear Savior, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee. Mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know thou art mine. Yet how many professing Christians cannot be as certain or as positive as that? Over the years you come across individuals, you maybe give them your testimony, you tell them you're saved, and they say to you, I don't know how you can be sure of that. I don't know how you can be so certain of that. They think you're being presumptuous. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here the bride was sure. My beloved is mine, and I am his. She was positive. And when it comes to our relationship with Christ, we need to be positive about it. There cannot be any room for the hope. So, well, I hope I'm all right. Well, I hope I'm ready for heaven. Well, I hope I'm saved. Oh, my, you cannot face eternity just saying, well, I hope I'm all right. You need to be sure. The bride was sure. For if we are not positive about our relationship with Christ, then we cannot be positive about our eternity. Where will we be then? 2 Peter 1 verse 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Make your calling and election sure. It is therefore necessary that we are sure about our standing with relation to Christ. Where do we stand? As well as her being positive, she speaks about this relationship as being permanent. The fact that the bride was so positive about her relationship with her beloved would indicate that it would be, that it was permanent. My beloved is mine, and I am his. There is no doubt in her mind that the union between them both would never be severed. It would never be broken. That speaks, of course, of our union with Christ. No force on earth, no satanic power from hell can break the union between the Christian and Christ, between the bride and her beloved. John 10, verse 28, the Lord Jesus said, I give unto them, that is his sheep, his people, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man. If you look at that verse, you'll see the word man again is in italics. So you can read it. Neither shall any pluck us out of my hand, the Lord said. Neither shall any. Any man, any devil, any demon, any power, any force will be able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. That union will never be severed. So we can say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. In John 17, known as the Lord's High Priestly Prayer, in John 17 and verse 12, the Lord Jesus was praying. The Lord says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, listen, I have kept, and none of them is lost. Isn't that some record? While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost. None. None is lost. But the son of perdition, the scripture might be fulfilled. The son of perdition, of course, was Judas. Judas was never a child of God. Never. But all that the Father gave to the Son, the Lord says, I have kept them all, and I haven't lost one. That's the union, you see. And it will never be broken. We are familiar with the words of Romans chapter 8. From there in Romans 8, we read in the verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? Nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. So Paul was sure. Paul was definite. Paul was positive about this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And praise the Lord, the union between ourselves and Christ is safe. It will never be broken. That means that yesterday we could say, my beloved is mine and I am his. Today we can say, my beloved is mine and he and I am his. Tomorrow, next week, next year the Lord spares us, we can still say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. As well as the bride being positive, and the bride speaking about her relationship as being permanent, we notice also her passion. None could doubt the bride's love for her beloved. She spoke of that love often enough. Chapter 1, verse 7. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. It's the bride that's speaking in that verse 7. Thou whom my soul loveth. Look at chapter 3 and verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city find me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth. Verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I find him whom my soul loves. Over and over and over again, she expresses her love for her beloved. Just as the psalmist said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 2. The ungodly may boast in their power and in their possessions, or maybe in their position. But the Christian can say again with the psalmist, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. We boast of Christ. We speak often of him. And we have every right to make our boast in the Lord. And we have every right, because he has redeemed us, purchased us with his own blood, made us his own. And now we can say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And that will never change. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And when that day comes, and we walk the golden streets of heaven, and bask in God's own light, we'll still be able to say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And when we gather with that innumerable throng and stand around the throne and see Christ in all his majesty and glory, we'll be glad to say, my beloved is mine, and I am his. But consider the bride and her claim, the bride and her certainty. You look at these words and you see the bride and her comfort. Think of the comfort. Though the truth of those words would have brought the bride, been able to say, my beloved is mine. In other words, no matter what happens, he's still mine. And I am his. And if we apply that to our own lives, in our times of discouragement, times of despair, in those times when we feel alone in our desolation, we can comfort ourselves by saying, my beloved is mine, and I am his. If nobody else in the world thinks of me, if nobody else in the world loves me, if nobody else in the world cares about me, there's one who does. He's my beloved, and he's mine, and I am his. And many times discouraged, we sink beside the way. About us all is darkness. We hardly dare to pray. Then from the mists and shadows, the sweetest voice e'er known says, child, I am with you, never to leave you alone. And we know that's true. He's told us that. And we can say it, my beloved is mine. If he's mine, then he'll never leave us. He'll always be with us. And I am his. We take it a step further and close it. What comfort those words will bring to us, or the truth of those words will bring to us in the day of our death, when we will have run our race and our life is over and we have our faces toward the setting of the sun and we go down into that valley. And we go that way that we have not been heretofore. Well, think of those words. My beloved is mine. And I am his. And what comfort we have in the truth of those words. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. My rod and my staff, they comfort me. My beloved is mine, and I am his. For time and for eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and gracious Father, we bless thee for the relationship. relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that union between ourselves and Him that will never be broken, because Jesus loved His church and gave Himself for it. The Lord, as Thou hast given Thyself for us and shed Thy blood for us, and the blood has been applied to us, the blood is able to keep us. For the river rolls as waters at our feet, and then bear us safely over. There are loved ones all to me. My beloved is mine, and I am his, and will be his forever. Lord, write thy precious word upon our hearts, that we take comfort and encouragement from it. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other, be with us throughout this day. And bless us, Lord. Bless us in heart and in soul. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all fade away. Amen.